Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
More of our ongoing coverage now of the opioid crisis in America. There's no single solution to the opioid crisis, so today we take you to a corner of New York City that represents one model of tackling it. And it's not new. It's called harm reduction. It's an approach that puts aside punishment and instead tries to reduce the consequences of drug use. Takeaway producer Alexandra Boti took us to Washington Heights in Manhattan for the story.
Yeah. You all right?
Yeah, coming
over. All right, you got a minute. Start cleaning up, please.
That is Lisa. I'm standing with her in the Washington Heights Corner Project in Manhattan, where she has a really important job. Every 3 minutes, she knocks on the bathroom door to make sure that the person inside is not overdosing on a drug like heroin.
Usually we have an instant combo, but right now we're just knocking because of how so many overdoses, so we want to be more cautious.
If Lisa gets no response, she and her colleagues are ready to go in and administer the drug naloxone, or Narcan, to reverse the overdose and save the person's life. This setup is part of the harm reduction approach to drug addiction and policy.
Harm reduction is a health and human rights-based approach seeking to implement services and policies and programs that reduce the negative health and social consequences related to drugs and drug use.
Rick Lyons is the executive director of Harm Reduction International, an NGO based in London.
It's obviously about providing services for people who use drugs, but it's really about providing safer and healthier communities for everyone.
It's a frigid day at the Washington Heights Corner Project. The syringe exchange and harm reduction program is located off a busy corner of this Upper Manhattan neighborhood. I climb some steep stairs to their second floor space, where they have cubicles and offices right next to their drop-in center. That's where people struggling with drug addiction can find services like clean needles, a bathroom, or just a cup of coffee and a warm place to sit. Mark Townsend gives me a tour. He's the Syringe Access Program Director here and Director of New York Harm Reduction Educators.
So we're in the drop-in center, and this is where people can drop in. They can get out of the cold, they can get off the street for a bit, get a cup of tea. This is also where we distribute clean syringes and equipment. It's where we try and encourage people to get tested for HIV and AIDS and hepatitis C so we can treat them and eradicate that disease in New York State. Mm-hmm. And we also have bathrooms here, showers and washing machines for people to do their washing.
Many of the people who come to use the services here are homeless. Almost all struggle with drug addiction.
We give people a card, and by carrying that card, that means if they're stopped by the police understand that they're registered in a program and the syringes that they have to keep themselves safe and to make sure that diseases don't spread through the rest of the population, they're allowed to have them and they don't hassle them.
350 people come through the program's drop-in center every week, but the Corner Project staff also goes out into the community, disposing of discarded syringes, giving out clean ones, passing out Narcan kits, and explaining how to use them to stop an overdose.
So say in the last 2 or 3 weeks, we've maybe had 10 overdose incidents. That's a big increase. One day there were four. There was one at the Payless, there was one outside, there was one in our bathroom, there's one in a park.
Back inside the drop-in center, Lisa or another staff member monitors the bathroom all day, knocking every 3 minutes. Registered program participants can sign up for 15-minute slots to use the bathroom however they want. Sometimes the waiting list is several hours long. Now, this is not a so-called safe injection site. Those are legally sanctioned places where people addicted to heroin can safely inject, usually with a medical professional nearby. Facilities like that exist in Canada and parts of Europe. There are around 90 in the world. Here's Rick Lyons again.
These are not places that are set up for casual drug users to access. These are facilities that are specifically for people who are otherwise injecting in incredibly vulnerable and risky scenarios. People who are homeless, people who are underhoused, people who are injecting in public parks and in alleyways. These are not people for whom the availability of a safe injecting space means the difference between injecting and not injecting. What it does mean is often the difference between living and dying.
But safe injection sites, like the kind Rick describes, are not legal here in the United States. And that's probably how it should be, says David Murray.
I think it's the wrong path at this point.
Murray was chief scientist and associate deputy director in the Office of National Drug Control Policy.
There's a little bit of an illusion here. There is no safe heroin injection. We might change the circumstance in which exposure to dirty needles or even an overdose that can be reversed, that changes the immediate moment, but it doesn't change the trajectory of the addict, which is towards greater and greater risk of death.
So the Corner Project's bathroom is in murky legal territory. It is not officially sanctioning drug injection in its bathroom, but will come to your aid if you overdose there. Other programs around the country find themselves in a similar position, and some cities are looking to come out of the shadows. In Philadelphia, Seattle, San Francisco, and Denver, there are efforts to put in place legally sanctioned sites in the face of this wave of deaths from opioid overdoses. Here in Washington Heights, I get a look at what it actually takes to keep someone alive.
This kit contains everything you'll need to reverse an overdose.
That's Jesse Reed, Community Engagement Coordinator at the Corner Project. He trains staff as well as members of the community on how to administer Narcan.
It has nasal Narcan spray, which is something that just goes, oh, I can use the dummy here. It goes right up the nostril and it's pretty easy to administer. This is probably the most popular form of Narcan that we give to people to use just because it's so easy to administer. And here you can see there's 4 milligrams of Narcan, which is enough to take a bear out of an overdose. But there have been times where we've had to use 2.
Before coming to New York, Jesse worked in Vancouver at a legal safe injection facility there. He estimates he has saved hundreds of lives from overdose.
When you look at places like this that are primarily populated by people who use drugs and none of them are dying, I think that should be a pretty good indicator that like something is working. You know, it's like whether you agree with it or disagree with it, you can't argue that.
There haven't been any overdose deaths at the Washington Heights Corner Project bathroom since it started operating in 2005. A sign of success, says Mark Townsend. But now he says it's time for a bigger shift in how we approach the opioid crisis.
Death, it shouldn't be what you get because you're suffering from addiction. It would be like having a mental illness and saying, well, so what if that person dies? So we can do better, and it doesn't need to be like this.
But in the meantime, staff like Lisa and Mark will keep knocking every 3 minutes.
If we don't hear from you, then we're going to be very worried and we're going to come in and hopefully save your life.
For The Takeaway, I'm Alexandra Botti in New York.